Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 6th chapter, which you heard read earlier. The epistle texts during the season of Epiphany are a semi-continuous reading through 1 Corinthians. So any connection that the epistle has to the Epiphany season is a mere coincidence. And coincidentally, our epistle text this morning directs us to our identity in Christ, who is revealed to us in word and sacrament. Our identity as God's children who have been called by the gospel, called in baptismal waters as we live in a darkened and anti-epiphanied world. Now, when I say a darkened and anti-epiphanied world, you remember the world, the word epiphany means to reveal. Well, anti-epiphanied, what I mean is we live in a world where God has clearly revealed himself, yet many refuse his revelation. Many reject the Creator and worship the creature. St. Paul writes that God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived. Unbelievers are without excuse. Earlier this week, I was reading an article on an online magazine called The Federalist. The article describes how Western societies like the United States, many people now define themselves not by some objective philosophical or religious criteria, but by whatever maximizes their self-expression, whatever maximizes their pleasure. The author writes, a century ago, most Americans considered pornography, transgenderism, and BDSM not only icky, but objectively immoral and worthy of unreserved condemnation. And now, an increasing number of us have now made our peace with all of these. Have you made yourselves at peace with all things icky and immoral? Technology can be great. However, the devil uses it for evil. We have many, many people watching immoral behavior in the privacy of their homes. And by this action, they will eventually become normalized to that behavior. They become comfortable. They give approval, and yes, eventually, they may even become participants in immorality. Now, some people think that those folks living back in Bible days didn't face the same temptations and immoral conditions that we face today. Others think that, well, we're much more enlightened today. We understand sexuality more than those in the first century. Well, if you dig into history, you'll discover that in the days of St. Paul, not only was prostitution legal, but it was socially acceptable for men to have intimate relations with boys and with prostitutes. St. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, it is actually reported that there is a kind of sexual immorality among you and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. Even incest, 2,000 years ago, all sorts of morality was beginning to have a negative influence and impact on the Christians in Corinth. In the very same way, it's having a negative impact among us today, because we've allowed immorality to become normal. In order to deal with the situation, St. Paul directs the Corinthian Christians, he directs their attention to who they are. They are redeemed, holy members of the body of Christ. His words written are just as valid 2,000 years ago as they are today. So in our text, Paul writes, flee from sexual immorality. He writes, glorify God in your body. He gives you two imperatives, two commands telling you what to do, one negative, one positive. Don't do this, do that. Your Christian freedom is not to be used as license to do whatever you wish, to reject the will of God in your life. Christian freedom is to be used for what is helpful and good in service of neighbor. To simply do as one pleases, such as engaging in sexual immorality, eventually results in temporal and eternal consequences. As we discussed earlier in Bible study downstairs, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So to willfully engage in sin is ultimately putting yourself under bondage. St. Peter writes, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. You're clasping on your own shackles of slavery. To use Christian freedom merely as a spiritual license to sin is to ultimately forfeit your freedom. Paul says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, it does sound like a whole bunch of law, and Paul is laying down the law here. He has a lot of marching orders for you. But before you pick up your marching orders and head out the door to do what he has told you, as always, we got to let Scripture interpret Scripture, because the law does not save. The law only accuses and condemns. So we look to the context to see how God's word teaches and encourages you to live the new life as a sanctified Christian, a Christian adopted in baptismal waters, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might glorify God in your body. So if we look at Paul's imperatives and his commands, if we look at them as things we absolutely must do, well, you could run out to any number of self-help books or counselors, and they can give you a long list of checkboxes, how to flee from sexual immorality. And then you can go get your Bible off the counter, and you can create your own checklist of reasons to glorify God in your body. You got two checklists, and it's time to go get to work. And so perhaps you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get this down, and you're motivated, and you really want to conquer this sin in your life and live a holy life toward God. And maybe you can keep it up for a while, a week, or two, or three, checking off those boxes. But what's going to happen when the devil gets the best of you and you slip and you fail? The devil throws you down into the pit of despair. What can you do then? Despair is a sin, by the way. You figure, well, maybe I got to try harder this time. I'll double down. I'll give it all I've got. And this time, you're doing pretty good with your willpower, and you're going out there, and you're living the way you should. You're checking off boxes, glorifying God in your body, fleeing from sexual immorality. And now you're thinking, hey, I'm doing really good here. Look at me. I'm doing what Paul's told me to. You're riding high on pride, which is another sin. So you've gone from the pit of despair to riding high on pride, full of self-righteousness. And that is what it's like to be under the yoke of the law. You spend your whole life swinging on the pendulum, pride to to despair, pride to despair, and finally, many people just give up on Christianity. When you think that being a Christian is all about keeping the rules, doing all the thou shalt do this's and all the thou shalt not do that's, you've forsaken all of Christ's work of salvation on Calvary's cross on your behalf. And you've become a slave to the law, pivoting from pride to despair. In the verses directly prior to our epistle text this morning, St. Paul describes the new life in Christ Jesus as God's adopted child. Now, Paul starts off really harsh. He hits us with the full sternness of the law, but then he gives us the sweetness of the gospel. See if you can pick out the two. He begins, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Did you catch law switching to gospel? After he proclaims all these immoral things, all sorts of unrighteousness, all these people who do these things that are going to be excluded from heaven, he says, "That's what you used to be, dear Christian. But you are washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So what Paul's saying here is, look at your past before you were Christian. Look at the perverseness and all of the sin, all that you have come out of. Look at who you used to be. That was you, but no more. Not anymore. That's no longer you. You are a new you. Don't fall back into your old ways. You have a new identity in Christ. You're baptized. God has chosen you in baptismal waters. If you fall back, you just fall down deeper into the mud and suffer the danger of falling away from faith. Cling to the promises your Lord has made you in baptism. Paul points to how God wills you to live as his baptized child. That is, all who have pronounced righteous for Christ's sake and have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul continues saying, "The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." We tend to think of our relationship with God as merely spiritual, inside, body and soul. That's my relationship with God. But in reality, that's an old Greek philosophy. Eat, drink, be merry. Go out and have all this immorality because tomorrow we're going to die. But that is not how God sees the body. Your body is important. In the service of the Christian burial at the graveside of the believer, we pray this prayer. May God the Father who created this body, may God the Son who by his blood redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit who by holy baptism sanctified this body to be his temple, keep these remains to the day of the resurrection of all flesh. You see, God cares about your body just as much as he cared about his own son Jesus' body and raised him from the grave. From the moment you were conceived all the way to the day that you die, And then even on into eternity, God cares about your body, for he will raise up your dead body on the last day and take it to himself in heaven. And on that day, your body will be transformed and made glorious, just like Christ's body. So you see, your body and how you use it is important to God. Paul teaches us that your identity is tied up with Jesus Christ. That is, your bodies are members of Christ. And since your bodies are members of Christ, our Lord forbids, he refuses to accept your body to be joined with a fornicator, an adulterer, or a prostitute. He doesn't want to be joined into that sacred union that he has with you or in with the marital partner. And why is this? Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." Paul's describing your identity as a baptized child of God. You have been called by the gospel. You've received the Holy Spirit in baptismal waters. And through that Holy Spirit, your body has become a temple that the Spirit dwells within. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you and makes you holy. That sanctification is a lifelong process and gives you new desires and a new ability to glorify God in your body, to do God's will, just as a good tree produces good fruit. You're not the old person. You are a new you. It's your identity as a Christian. The new person wants to glorify God. It flows from you, good works, because God loves you and he sent his only son to die for you. For the sake of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, you are set free to live a new life, which is yours in Christ. Because you are not your own, you are bought with a price. You are bought by Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. You've been redeemed from your old way of sin, freed to live a life of glorifying God with your body. And as we spoke about earlier in Bible study, can we do this perfectly? Can we throw off the old and never sin again? Of course not. Your old Adam, your old sinful nature is still hanging around, tempting you every day. Even though you're a new person in Christ, there will be times when you will stumble and you will fall. What do you do then? Do you despair? By no means. Jesus has forgiveness for that. Drown your old Adam in baptismal waters. Cling to the promises that Jesus has made you a new creation in him. Die to your old Adam, die to your old sins, and arise before God in righteousness and purity forever. Because of Jesus, your body and soul have already been delivered from death, delivered into life eternal, so that you may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.